Thanks for joining us on the Father's House Podcast, where we are bringing hope and impacting our community by leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus. We're so glad you're here, and wherever you're listening from, we believe your life can be transformed through this week's message. So let's jump right into it.
Well, amen. It's great to see you this morning. If I haven't told you lately, I want to tell you how much that we love you. And we're so glad you're here. Just look around at all the wonderful people that are here this morning. And man, a minute ago, it was so great to see you with your hands lifted up and worshiping the Lord. Man, He is worthy of worship.
Yes. I'm
so glad that you've chosen to be here with us on, this is Christmas Sunday, really, for us, you know, because Christmas Eve is Wednesday. So today will be Christmas Sunday, and we're so glad and thankful that you've joined us. And those of you that are online, I was just watching today and looking at all of our friends around the nation and sometimes places around the world that are watching with us, and we just are so thankful. And Father's House, would you welcome those that are watching online today? Yeah. Hey, we're going to continue. By the way, thanks for teaching with us today.
Thanks for the invitation.
Yeah, because this is, we're transitioning, and in March we'll transition. So this could be our last Christmas that we share together here for a while. Because we will be back preaching some off and on, and so who knows?
Yeah, but we are excited about the future.
Excited.
I know it seems like, what's happening? Yeah. But you know what? Trust God.
That's right. So we're going to continue our series, The Gifts of Christmas. I hope you were here for the last few teachings, because they were really good. And we're going to be looking today, if you want to go ahead and open your Bible, to Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through, I think I'm going to go through like 11 or something like that. You can follow along. And then, of course, our theme verse is Titus 2 and 11. But before we start today, by the way, wasn't that worship great?
Yes.
Man, I tell you what's the truth.
So good.
I'm just so thrilled with our team. They just so bless me. Let's pray. Father, we love you today. Today's not a token day. Christmas is not a token time for us. It's not a time that we just look for gifts and getting off work or doing things for other people. But Lord, we'd be up a creek without a paddle if you hadn't come, sent your son Jesus. Because man, on our own, we're a wreck. Even though we pretend that we got it all together and we don't need you, and we smile a lot. But there's that vacancy on the inside of our heart that you created only for you. No one's here today by accident. Nobody's watching online by accident. This is a day of confrontation in which that you confront us with the truth of your coming and your coming again. So as Anita and I teach today, as we've been praying all week, for several weeks now, don't let us say anything we shouldn't say. But let us say everything that you want us to say, even bring things to our mind that we haven't even studied. And Lord, I pray that today not one person would leave here today without the assurance that they've opened the greatest gift of Christmas. That's you.
Yes, Lord.
So we pray at the end of today that most of all that you, Father, would be glorified,
yes,
lifted up, magnified,
yes,
adored, because you're worthy. Second of all, these wonderful people that have decided to come today to this service would be encouraged, lifted up, not beaten down, but Lord, just lifted up, encouraged. And Lord, then we just pray today that the enemy would be
terrified
in the name
Amen.
Of Jesus. Well, by raising your hands, how many of you have ever been to a baby shower? Yeah. Even guys go to now. You know, they bring all those cute things like tiny shoes that's never going to fit, little outfits that say future world changer, and diapers, lots of diapers, because nothing says love like preparing for the mess that you're going to face. But imagine Joseph and Mary's baby shower. The Magi come, and it's almost 2 years later. Jesus is now in a house in Nazareth. He's not in Bethlehem. And they bring in gifts for the baby shower.
Mm-hmm.
They bring in gold. Hey, that's pretty good, right? Very generous. They bring in frankincense. We talked about that last week. Very luxurious, smelling good, very spiritual. And then myrrh. Myrrh would be interesting to bring to a baby shower, because myrrh one of the primary uses of myrrh would be to embalm a body when it was dead. Mm. Wow. That's like showing up at a baby shower with a gift card to a funeral home that says, you might need this later. I believe that may have been one of the things that Joseph would have looked at Mary and said, I think we're going to return this gift. We don't need this gift.
Yeah, but here's the twist of that. These gifts weren't a mistake. They all had a purpose. They weren't just bringing presents. They were bringing prophecy.
Wow.
Because before Jesus ever took his first step, heaven already knew the direction of his life.
Wow.
The first gift ever given to Jesus wasn't about his comfort. It was about his calling. Yeah. Every nativity scene should have a little cross in the corner.
Yeah.
Titus 2:11. For the grace of God has appeared,
yeah, let's
bringing
read that
salvation.
Together. Can we read that together? Go ahead.
For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people.
Kevin did such a great job of that a few weeks ago, talking about that appearing. It's like when you're in darkness, then light comes. So if you got your Matthew passage open with me, read with me today, and we'll be kind of walking through this, a few things to say. Maybe you can underline a few things and as you're taking notes. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. Remember the first week we talked about that, we said these wise men were probably from Babylon. They were called Magi. They were wise men. And that's the same region where Daniel was. In fact, Daniel was a chief Magi 250 years earlier than these Magi. So he probably had told them scriptures about the coming of the Messiah, that the promised one would come. And so 2 years later, they're making a journey. Whether it took them that long to journey there or whether it took them 2 years to prepare all the gifts that they were going to bring. Mm. Because when you begin really studying into the passage here, you find it was very much more than just three little gifts. And we said several weeks ago that it wasn't just three wise men. It could have been a whole group of wise men. It could have been 5, 6, 12. And each of those wise men would have had an entourage of other people traveling with them because the gifts they brought were so much that the wise men couldn't carry them all themselves and they needed help. It's interesting to study the history of this particular time. So the great entourage was coming from Jerusalem and it says, for we have seen his star in the east, and we've come to worship him. Mm. Now, they've come to Jerusalem. Evidently, the star is no longer shining for them. There are a lot of different reasons. People say, well, it's this planet interfered with that planet, whatever. But you really can't say that to a certain degree because the star appeared as they started making their journey from Persia, from Babylon, and became. But when they get to the area where they think that it should be, they go to Jerusalem where the king would be, King Herod, and they say, you know, where is he? So if they knew, if the star was still shining, they wouldn't have had to ask, where is he, all right? So let's look back into the passage again. They said, we've come to worship him. And then when Herod, the king, heard this, he was troubled. Why? Because he's king. He doesn't want another king, right? This Herod's a strange guy. I mean, in fact, he had people, some of his own people arrested and kept in jail so that when he would die, they would be persecuted so somebody would cry at his death.
Wow.
Now, that's pretty bad when you live such a sorry life that you worry about nobody's going to cry at you. That's sort of like wondering who's going to show up at your funeral, right? When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. You know, if the king is troubled, you're troubled, you know. If your wife's troubled, you should be troubled, right? You know how that story goes, okay? And when they had gathered all the chief priests and scribes and the people together, he inquired of them where this Christ would be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem, notice they don't have to research, they already know. They already know. So why aren't they inquiring, hey, let's go. Well, in Bethlehem of Judea, for it is written, the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, the land of Judah, are you not the least of the rulers of Judah? For we've come, the ruler who will be the shepherd of my people. And then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star had appeared. Because the star's not shining right now. It's dark. So they're walking by faith. I wonder what it is in your life today that the Lord showed you something he wanted you to do years ago, and you started out by faith, but you're no longer seeing the physical evidence of that, but yet you're believing by faith today that he's still going to do what he said he was going to do.
Yes.
If that's a word for
yes.
you today, give the Lord a hand clap
Amen.
And say, yay, God. Thank you, Lord. I hadn't even thought about that before. And so he sent them to Bethlehem. Now notice, he sends them to Bethlehem, go and search carefully for the young child, and when you found, bring back word that I may too come and worship him. When they heard the king, they departed, but behold, now notice, he says, go to Bethlehem. But as they departed, the star shines again.
Mm.
And the star is not in Bethlehem, because Jesus is no longer there. It's 2 years later, he's in a house in Nazareth. And so Herod says, go to Bethlehem, but the star says, oh, go this way to Nazareth.
Wow.
So as they began to follow the star, boy, I love this. I love the word when you look at this. And when they heard the star that they had seen in the east, now is shining again. And it came and it stood over where the Christ child was. And when they saw the star, they did what? Say it with me. They rejoice with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, notice, not the stable, but the house, about Jesus would have been 2 years, and they saw the young child, the phrase there, young child, would be a child in training, so it wouldn't be a baby in diapers anymore. He's now, and you say, well, he's with Mary, where's Joseph? Well, Joseph is probably working. And when they saw the young child and Mary, they fell down. Actually, in the Greek, it says they were so overcome, they collapsed. Why? Because for 250 years, they had heard teaching and preaching about the coming of the Messiah. And now of all the places in the world, they're allowed to come and they see the baby Jesus, the promised one. And all they could do was collapse and fall down before him. And they began to worship him. Worship there means they actually literally kissed the ground where he was. They bowed down low. And when they had opened their treasures, notice plural treasures. When you look at this in the Greek, it's not just three little small gifts. It's treasures. We're talking about wise men, wealthy wise men from the East that knew how to give gifts. You ever met anybody who knew how to give a gift? I mean, they're just lavishing. Someone told me early this morning, he said, man, I was somewhere this week and I watched somebody that had a heart of giving and they gave and they gave and they gave and they gave and they gave. Well, these wise men would have been like that. They didn't just bring three things that we look at, but Matthew said three things. Why? Because he wants you to know that those gifts were part of the prophecy.
Mm.
But there are other levels. Because history tells us that these magi, these wise men, would have come and they would have brought all kinds of gifts. They would have brought, I can't take all the time to do that, but just a whole lot of treasures. And then it says, and they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They presented gifts, that's the first part, which mean that their helpers that were with them were bringing gifts, laying them down at the feet of Jesus. And then the wise men brought gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed to their own country another way. Boy, that's good, isn't it? You can never come to Jesus and meet him and go home the same way. Some of you came today one way and you're going to leave another.
Amen.
Some of you came one way today and you're going to leave another. It's already stirring in your heart. You're saying, there's something different about today. What is it about today? Aren't you glad? How many of you, by raising a hand, say, I'm so glad that when I met Jesus, I started walking a different way than I'd ever been before. Amen?
Yes.
Wow. Now, when they had departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, get out of here, because Herod's going to try to kill every baby that he can. I want you to flee to Egypt. The word flee there means run as fast as you can. And stay there until I bring word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And when they arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and they departed for Egypt. And there they were there in Egypt until Herod died. Now, let me just remind you of a couple things. Egypt was the most luxurious nation that you could ever be at this particular time. And it was very costly to live in Egypt. Jesus, Joseph, and Mary lived in Egypt for 3 years. The Coptic church in Egypt lists different places where the baby Jesus and Joseph and Mary. In fact, Sean and I were able to be at part of the Coptic church in Egypt 2 or 3 years ago when I was there teaching some leaders in Cairo about things that were God was doing and would do and create leadership in them. So the Coptic church lists that they traveled 1,200 different miles while they were in Egypt because they were on the run. Because not only was Herod killing babies there, but now he's heard that maybe he's down in Egypt and he's searching for the Christ child there. So for 3 years, 1,200 miles in the Nile, on foot, on horseback, however they could go, they were running for their life. Now, how did that happen? Well, remember one of the things they gave them was gold. Have you ever thought about it? Now, just near the city of Nazareth, at this particular time, was a great city called Sepphoris. Sepphoris was the banking center of all the Middle East. So sometimes people say, well, if they had that much gold and stuff, how did they carry it with them? But in reality, probably they put some of that gold in the banking center in Sepphoris. Have you ever noticed that Jesus never received an offering? Now, there are a few wealthy women that gave to his ministry, but Jesus never received an offering. Could it be that because of the gift of the Magi years prior, and part of that in the banking center in Sepphora, it gave enough gold to help support Jesus' ministry, plus the entourage that would travel with Jesus? You ever think about that? Where did all that money come from? Where did that happen? And so here we see the gifts that they gave. They gave the gold that's going to keep them going for this time. Running in Egypt, they were there for 3 years and then they returned back. But could it be that some of that gold still helps sponsor Jesus? Isn't it amazing how when you give a gift to God, that gift is going to live longer than you? I mean, we're getting ready to talk about our legacy giving and giving to missions and giving to other things. Isn't it amazing? When you get to heaven, you're going to hear people walk up to you and say, you know what? That gift that you gave years ago to the church, that changed my life. Somebody brought the gospel to me. Somebody changed my life. I'm going to tell you, you never give anything in obedience to God that God doesn't use it long term for his kingdom. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
So then last week I talked about they also brought a frankincense, a great smell. And by the way, the gold, in the Greek, when you read it, it said the purest form of gold that you could find. Now remember last week I said about the frankincense. Frankincense has no smell on its own. It has to be crushed and it has to be put in the fire to give out a fragrance. Gold, you remember how gold is? It's a rock that you bring out of a mountain, and then you break it down, you crush it down, you run gallons and gallons of water over that to get rid of impurities, and then you put it in the fire to make it pure, and then it's molten. It could be made in a bar, into a bar. It could be made into a coin, however it was. All the gifts that they brought, really none of them were really significant until they were broken. And what was in them was released. So they brought them gold, frankincense, and you're going to talk about the third one, right?
Yes, and then they brought myrrh, which was the third gift. And here's just an example. And it also is a resin collected from a tree, but it's hard and it had to be crushed. And in order for the fragrance to come out, burned or turned into an ointment. So it was very priceless. It was very costly. And so again, these were no Walmart gifts or Walgreens gifts on the way home. They were significant.
Yeah.
It was priceless. And it was favored by kings. They wore an amulet around their neck with myrrh. They used it for anointing oil. They used it in great moments of honor. So it wasn't a small thing. When it's crushed and distilled, it became perfume for royalty, medicine for the suffering, and the final act of care for the dead. And it was very, very expensive. And it came from those thorny trees that they had to cut. It was a long time. It just didn't seep out. They had to cut on and cut it and cut it. And each wound on that tree released that resin that hardened into reddish brown tears.
Wow.
You can think of it that way, of that tree crying and bringing forth.
Because when they would slice the tree, then this resin would come out, yes. or this liquid would come out, yes. almost like trees.
Yes, like tears. Syrup, like tears. Only through wounding was that fragrance released. So from the beginning, myrrh told the story of Jesus.
Wow.
Pierced, bruised, poured out. So the fragrance of grace, forgiveness, and healing could fill the world. Doesn't that sound familiar? Look at Isaiah 53 and 5 that yeah. says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities.
Yeah.
He was the chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. Now
wow.
Look at it in the ERV. This sounds like today's language. But he was being punished for what we did.
Wow.
He was crushed because of our guilt. He took the punishment we deserved and brought us peace. We were healed because of his pain.
Wow.
So again, that fragrance only comes out when it's broken. That jar was filled with prophecy in that resin. From the very beginning, myrrh testified to the truth of the gospel that redemption would come
yeah.
through suffering and life would come through death.
Wow. You know, sometimes people ask about, what do you think happened to the Magi? 6th century documents that have been discovered said that when Apostle Thomas was on his way to India to take the gospel to India, he stopped in Babylon and he looked up the Magi that were there at that time and he told them the full truth because they'd just seen the baby Jesus. He told them the full truth of the death, burial, resurrection, and the soon coming of Jesus. And the Magi that were still living at that time surrendered their life to the Lord, believed, and were baptized.
Amen.
Isn't that amazing? The Lord can lead you into
yes.
something and you don't even know what he's leading you into, but he's always going to come back around and say, let me give you a purpose
mm-hmm.
and understanding for what you did.
Amen. So three lessons.
Three lessons. Here, real quickly, here's the first one. Read it with me. Rejoice
with exceedingly great joy.
In the Greek, it means they went absolutely nuts. It's like, you know, last night was the Powerball. I didn't play it, so I don't know. I didn't win if I didn't play it, so I don't know. But it's like supposed to be, what, $1.5 billion or something
yeah.
like that? I'll tell you what, if somebody here today had won the Powerball last night, I promise you that you wouldn't just be moping through life right now, but you'd be jumping up and down like you won the Powerball. Well, listen, that's what the Magi, that's how they felt, because they didn't win the Powerball, but they were able to see a toddler in a house that was a King of Kings
Amen.
And Lord of Lords that had been prophesied, the Messiah
yes.
that would take away our sins.
Amen.
So this Christmas, don't wait for the perfect holiday mood, but just say this with me. He left glory for me.
He left glory for
he
me.
He took my place.
He took my place.
I am forgiven. He found me.
Yes, he found me. So we can learn those things from the Magi, right? The second thing would be to worship by pouring out everything. Worship like nobody's watching, although there's an audience of one in heaven, and heaven is applauding us. But the wise man didn't just hand over these gifts and say, Mary, let's take a selfie. We're out of here.
Yeah.
No, what did they do? They fell on their knees. They fell flat on their faces. Matthew 2:11 said, they fell down and worshiped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered gifts. So notice the order. First, they got on their knees. Then they opened the gifts.
Yeah.
Knees first, treasure second. That's the anatomy of real biblical worship.
Yeah.
Get on your knees first. They didn't give Jesus their leftovers. Well, if I have anything left after
wow.
we go to town
wow.
or after we do this or after, no, even with giving or not the leftovers. They didn't wait until they got home and said, I got a few things I got to pay off before we can give anything to Jesus. They said, we are going to do it right now.
Yeah.
All of it is yours right now. Worship that costs nothing is worth nothing.
Yeah.
Let that sink in. Worship that costs nothing is worth
yeah.
nothing. If surrendering your schedule that's so important doesn't make your flesh throw a tantrum, it's not worship.
Yeah. Yeah.
If opening your wallet doesn't make you go, what, God, did you say? It's not worship. It's a tip. If laying down that dream, that relationship, that grudge, or that addiction doesn't feel like a death or it's costing you something, it's not worship.
Yeah.
It's just interior decorating. You're just trying to look good. Remember, myrrh only produced a fragrance when it was shattered, when that jar was shattered. And your life only becomes worship when you stop protecting the container. Stop protecting the container. Remember the New Testament, the lady, the story, it's in all four Gospels about the woman who broke open the alabaster, some say jar, some versions say box, but the perfume that was in that she used to anoint and bless Jesus. Guess what was part of that perfume? Myrrh.
Wow.
It was costly. It was extravagant worship. It showed her repentance and love and total surrender. So here's the ruthless, glorious invitation this Christmas. Crack your jar wide open.
Amen.
And pour out your worship.
True.
Pour out your worship. And how can we do that? There's several different ways that we can pour out our worship.
Yeah, here's the first one. Let me talk about this. It may sound humorous, but give money until heaven can hear your wallet cry. Not one of those painless, should I round up to the first, you know, you go to those places, can we round up the next dollar for whatever it is? No, I'm talking about, as Anita just said, when God whispers an actual number to you to give, you swallow hard and say, Jesus, you're worth it. But wow, that number stings. Are you sure? That's when the fragrance begins to escape.
Mm-hmm.
The Magi crossed deserts with armed guards to protect the gold, and they dumped it on the floor in Nazareth. What are you ready to give?
Mm.
Legacy offering, we're talking about that. We're starting now until the last Sunday in March. I forget the date of that.
22nd.
Second. And that's when we will celebrate that. And then in January, we're doing our annual 21-day fast, and then we start that on January the 5th, and then on the 25th, which is the end of that Daniel fast, most of us will do the 21-day Daniel fast, some may do more, and then on that night, 5:25, we have our night of worship, and so it's going to be a great time.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just give.
Amazing.
Let's give everything.
And that info is on the website if you want the details. The second way to pour it out is to serve the people who can never pay you back.
Wow. Wow.
Some people do things to get something back, but serve people that can never pay you back. You know, remember the big deal of random acts of kindness? Mm. You just randomly do something nice for somebody else without expecting anything back. It made you feel good because you were blessing somebody, and usually somebody would go, you know, in the line, I'll get the people behind me and behind me and behind me and all that. But it's doing something for somebody, serving people who can never pay you back. When you donate blood, you're not getting anything back. You're saving a life, right? Do something that blesses somebody else. You know, there's a coworker that you just avoid.
Ooh.
Because there's drama all the time. Maybe they need a hug. Maybe they need an ear. Maybe they need an invite out to coffee. Don't avoid. Do something. Serve that person that can't pay you back. Because why? Jesus said, whatever things you do to the least of these, you do unto me. And the translation is, every act of inconvenient, unrepaid love is worship.
Yeah, and I think about all the wonderful people who help take care of the babies next door.
I know.
I mean, on Sundays. I mean, you rock a baby, you change a baby diaper, that baby's not going to look up at you and smile and say, thank you, it was a great day. You know?
No.
And you may never get thanks for that. That's why when we built that building, we built a building that's twice the size of this one because we believe in the next generation.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So those of you, I just give a hand clap to those of you who serve next door to babies who can't pay you back anything.
Right. Amen. And the third way to pour out your worship is to surrender the one thing you swore you'd never release.
Uh-oh.
Surrender the one thing.
Wow.
You swore you'd never release. What jar are you holding on to so tightly that Jesus wants you to break? You know what it is. You've held on.
Yeah.
And you're saying, nope, it says do not open ever. That relationship that you keep trying to fix on your own strength, that apology that you're too proud to give. I'm not going to say anything. I'm waiting on them. That dream you love more than you love Jesus, that secret sin that you keep spraying perfume over to smell better because it really stinks, but you don't want to deal with it. You don't want to break it. Remember that alabaster jar was broken and could not be put back together. It's not repairable. You have to say the scariest, freest prayer in the world. Take it, Lord. Break it. I trust you. And when that jar shatters and the scent fills the room, angels recognize that scent. It smells like Golgotha. It smells like grace. It smells like home. Wow, I'm giving that thing up.
Awesome.
Jesus was poured out completely so that we could be filled completely.
Yeah.
When you finally smash that jar at his feet, you don't end up empty. You end up full of him. 2 Corinthians 2:15 says, our lives are a Christ-like fragrance rising up to God. And if your life doesn't smell like a good fragrance, because we all can have a smell about us, if it's not a beautiful fragrance that God is saying, wow, that's great, I love it, break it. Break that jar. Break whatever it is, your pride, whatever it's holding on to. Your brokenness becomes his perfume. So this Christmas, don't bring Jesus a nicely wrapped box with a bow on top. Bring him a broken bottle and an open heart, reflecting your total surrender and your love. Yeah. Pour it all out and watch him turn your wreck into worship, your pain into perfume, your nothing into everything.
Yes.
Because that baby in a manger is the king on the throne, right? And he is worthy of every single drop that I can pour out.
Wow. So two things we talked about. Rejoice with exceedingly great joy. Worship by pouring out everything. And thirdly, here's the one that we need to remember. Never get over the cost. Never get over the cost. I like good coffee, and I've been known to have a cup of coffee at Starbucks.
Or 10. I'm sorry.
I've been known that Richard bring me a cup of coffee on Sundays. And, you know, some of us never thought, you know, I remember dime cup of coffee. I'm that old, yes. $6, $7 for a cup of coffee.
More.
But I read the premium this week. In Dubai, there is a cup of coffee that sells for $800. You say, why? Listen to this. It's mixed with resin, from the same tree that produced myrrh. It's crushed, aged, processed to perfection. And someone said, one sip and you can smell heaven. But you and I have tasted something far more expensive. The crushed life of the Son of God. Remember the day that Jesus hung on the cross and the soldiers lifted up the wine? The wine had myrrh in it that would diminish the pain that he was going through. But he refused that because he wanted to feel filled with nothing deadening the pain, every lash for your healing, every nail and every ounce of the hell of your life. Death crushed him, but the fragrance filled the tomb. Remember, the ladies came and brought spices to embalm the bodies. They brought about 90 pounds, and part of that would have been myrrh. But when they got to the tomb, the stones rolled away. And there was a fragrance already. wasn't the fragrance of something they could do. It was a heavenly fragrance. Yeah. Yeah. The price has been paid. I know you've been looking at this one gift over here. Thought, how are they going to talk about that gift? What is that gift? You ever received a gift and you knew it was so expensive and it was so costly that you didn't open it up immediately? Because there was something about this gift that you knew when you opened it up, things would have to change. This represents the real gift of Jesus at Christmas for your life. Well, what do we do at Christmas? Well, we talk about, it's Christmas. It's not happy holidays. We sing songs about Jesus. We wear Christmas sweaters. We give gifts. But year after year, we keep his gift on the shelf. Mm. We don't open it. Because we know if we open it, I have to surrender and trust him. I have to allow him to direct my life. I have to allow him to break things in me that are full of pride and arrogance and self-sufficiency. And so my question from Jesus to you today is, are you going to leave me unwrapped for another year? When the only thing that'll ever bring true peace to you is this Jesus. Would you bow your heads with me? Thank you for your presence, Lord Jesus. You're not in a manger today, but you're sitting on a throne. And you sent your Holy Spirit to draw people to you today. You said no one can come to the Father except through the Spirit. And so, Holy Spirit, I know that you're knocking on hearts' doors. And I know some people are struggling right now of, man, what will this mean? What will I have to give up? What will I have to change? What will I have to do? But we also know that this life that we're living is a life that's going to end for all of us. Last time I read, death comes to 100% of us unless he comes and raptures us first. And so you're sitting here today and saying, I'm not sure where I'm ready to spend eternity. Today, on this Christmas Sunday, the greatest desire of my heart would be that I could lead you in a prayer, that you could open up the gift of Jesus. He'll bring you forgiveness of your sins. He'll bring you a purpose for living. He'll give you the hope of spending eternity with him in heaven. There's only two destinations. I don't try to scare you this morning, but there's only two destinations. If you continue to live for yourself and not for him, you're going to have to pay for the sins in your life. But this gift box that I'm holding right now symbolizes Jesus, the gift that he's already paid for your sins. So today, those of you that are in here, those of you that are watching online, if you would simply say, Terry, would you include me in the prayer today? I don't want to keep Jesus on the shelf anymore. There's a void in your life, a vacancy, and nothing will ever fill it. More money won't. More addictions won't. It's only one thing, and his name is Jesus. Jesus. So if you'd allow me, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to ask you to do something that would embarrass you. But I just want you in just a minute. I want you to, if you'd like to be included in this prayer, to just raise your hand and Make eye contact with me so I'll know where you are and so I can pray with you and for you this morning. And Jesus can come into your life and you'll leave today different than you came. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Thank you. Jesus. Others today, just raise your hand. Yes, thank you. Others today, raise your hand. Just keep your hand up. And a friend of mine's coming to bring a gift to you to help you on this journey. Others today, you say, yes, yes, yes. Listen, listen, listen. That's the Lord speaking. You say, well, no, I can do it on my own. But there's something. Jesus said, follow me. So he called people to follow him. Yeah, thank you in the back there. Yes, thank you. Others today, say, yeah, that's me. That's me. Those of you who are watching online, just raise your hand right where you are. Say, yeah, that's me. Others say, I just feel like waiting just a little while longer. Say, yep, that's me.
Thank you, Jesus.
That's me today. I want to say yes to Jesus.
Thank you.
Wow. Wow. So awesome. Pray this prayer with me, would you? Father God.
Father God.
Thank you today.
Thank you today.
For sending your son Jesus.
For sending your son Jesus.
To die for my sins.
To die for my sins.
I receive the gift today.
I receive the gift today.
Of your life.
Of your life.
Forgiving me of my sins.
Forgiving me of my sins.
Fill me with your spirit.
Fill me with your spirit.
As best as I know how.
Best as I know how.
I want to serve you.
I want to serve
all the days of my life.
All the days of my
in
life.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Church, would you celebrate with me today?
Amen.
Come on, let's celebrate. Lives
yes,
changed.
Lord.
Lives changed.
Thanks for joining us. If you said that prayer and surrendered your life to Jesus, it's the best decision you will ever make, and we would like to celebrate with you. We have some tools to help you on your journey. Simply text DECIDED to 352-329-2301. That's 352-329-2301. Join us next time as we continue to love God, love people, and make disciples.